Hi, everyone, and welcome to Digital Edge's first compliance podcast, Keeping Up with the Compliance. It's a monthly segment where our VP of Compliance comes on and talks about all the new laws and regulations or changing laws and regulations or general tips when it comes to staying in compliance. To start us off, Keith Berry will be explaining what it means to be a risk-driven IT organization.
Right. I'm here to talk about risk-driven organizations, what it means to be a risk-driven organization. It's what everyone should be. It's 2020. Let's get with it, shall we? All right. Now, the problem that we often encounter, or that is often encountered, I should say, is that you have small companies and they think that the information security management system is not for them, that it's just too much money, too much of an expense. What do I need to do this? Nothing's really going to happen. What's the worst going to happen? Well, the worst thing that can happen is that somebody can open up an email. It could put malware on your entire network. You can get, the worst thing ever, it seems like. We just had something like this. A client come to us not too long ago with the ransomware. You could be potentially liable for God knows how much money. You don't want that to happen. You don't want someone go on deleting things they should not be deleting, critical information from servers, all these horrible things that can happen. Trust me, there are a lot of horrible things that can happen. It's just that you've never thought about your risk, and that's the problem. Companies have to get with it. They have to think about their risk. It's not enough to just have Steve, the IT guy, come in and be like, we'll put on an antivirus and we got a firewall, and that's it, and that's what we have to do. No, that's not it. That's not it by a long shot. The most important thing a company really needs is an attitude of security. You have to have the right attitude and behavior. This is training the troops. You have to think of it as the antivirus and the other various applications are your weapons, but you need to train the troops to use them. You need to train the troops to see risks coming, see threats coming, and to notify the proper people and to minimize the damages from risks being exploited, right? So that's number one. It's awareness. You need to get your company aware of the risks out there and what they can do to help it, okay? That's why. That's at least part of the problem. Another reason that companies should definitely be looking into this is that the United States, finally, after all this time, at least the several states, not the federal government, the states, are now enacting legislation not only for privacy protection, but also for just having a reasonable information security management system. So you need to have it. That's it. It's the law now. There are damages associated with this. This will cost you money, even more than the damages themselves. So you got the damages costing you money, and then you have also these laws costing you money on top of it. So you have to get with it. And what they recommend is just a reasonable information security system. So what is reasonable? Well, reasonable is difficult, and that's how they left it for us. Unfortunately, the legislature, I guess, couldn't really agree on a particular standard, so it's going to come down ultimately, I hate to say it, to the courts over a period of time. This is how it's often done with legislation. They'll do some very broad, very gray legislation, say, okay, we'll let the courts decide what's reasonable in each situation. That's what they're doing. And, of course, we don't like it in the industry because it doesn't really give us much guidance other than to say, well, you need something in place and it has to be reasonable. So when doing what is reasonable, it is best to be more stringent, not less stringent, okay? You can take into account the size of your company, how much money it takes in would be used for that, how many employees you have would be used to go to that, how much personal data you guys keep on file, things like that, how dangerous it is, how dangerous the situation is with the sheer amount of data that you have, how dangerous it is with the level of protections that you have, technological protections, okay? So for that, we recommend that you do have an information security management system in place, that it should probably go and probably be according to one of the standards that already exist out there, because it's hard for someone to say that, well, gee, you know, you have this in place, it's a system in place, and it's the ISO system, say, but we don't think that's good enough, right? I mean, it's going to be a hard sell. If you're ISO compliant, it's going to be hard for somebody, a court, to say that, oh, well, you're not being reasonable, right? So that's what we recommend. We love ISO here at Digital Edge, but there's also other standards out there. There's, you know, the NIST standards as well, which we also have a number of clients. And that's basically the why. That's the why. It's what can happen to you. That's the why. It's what basically can happen to you and what the law now mandates. And we suggest that everybody take a sober look at their current situation and where they want to go. Okay, and that brings us to the how. How do we do this? How do we set up a risk management system? It's not that hard, okay? This is what you need to do. It's 7 steps, varying complexity, but never too complex. The first thing you want to do is you want to assign a group of people that are going to be in charge of your information security management system generally and risks in particular. Okay, you need basically a risk management board. You can call it whatever you want, but it's just a group of people who are in charge of risks to the company. And you set that up. They have to know who they are. Everyone else has to know who they are, and they have to buy in. They have to be eager, willing members of this, and they have to take it seriously. The second thing you want to do, number 2, is schedule. You want to set up a yearly review meeting where this group, this board, this risk management board meets and discusses risks that have taken place over the year and what the outcome of those risks were, if any, were exploited. The next step, step number 3, is setup, okay? You need to set up something, a structure of some kind. It could be in SharePoint, it could be in some third-party website, but you need to have a place, a secure place, where you can keep your risk registry and your incidents, okay? So what you can do, if you just want to be real basic about it, it's still very effective, is you can put it on a server, you can have shared folders in a shared directory that's locked down so that only board members, risk management board members, can see it. The first thing you want is the risk registry itself. And a risk registry is just a place where you're going to be putting in written form your risks, what they are, how they're categorized, what they're classified as, what you're doing about those risks, etc. The second folder is going to be for incidents. These are things that happen during the year. You know, somebody, you know, Tim the IT guy accidentally deletes a database, something like that. That goes in the incidents folder, okay? The next thing you want to do once you have that set up, which shouldn't take too long, is you want to meet. You actually want to do this. You want to hash it out. This is the time-consuming part. This is the meat and potatoes of risk management. You have to have a meeting, and you have to discuss what risks exist to your company. You have to determine a number of things. You have to know, you should be able to classify what type of risk it is. Is it a human risk with human mistakes? Is it a cybersecurity technological risk? Is it just a system failure, or is it even something like a disaster, something horrible? What are you going to do about it? The board has to determine, what are they going to do about this risk? What should we do? We have to take into account, we don't have all the money in the world. No company does. So given what we have as far as resources, what can we do about this risk? And what should we do about this risk? What is the prudent thing to do? You can avoid it. You can avoid a risk. You can go around it. You can control a risk. You can mitigate the damages that might flow from a risk. You may mitigate the probability that a risk will be exploited to begin with. You can simply accept a risk. Many a time something comes up where there's really not much you can do about it for one reason or another, and so you just must accept that the risk is out there and hope that it doesn't get exploited. You could also transfer or outsource risks to other company that will take on the burden and of the risk for you and the blame if something were to happen. What you should do, what's important, is you have to assign a risk rating to the risk. This is something that can be done pretty simply just using some integers very easily. What you need to do is just come up with what numbers you're going to use. Most people, what they'll do is they'll have a likelihood value, and then they'll have an impact value, and then they'll add the likelihood value to the impact value. So if something's a very low likelihood of happening, right, you put a 1 next to it. If it's moderate, it's a 2. If it's a high likelihood, it's a 3. Likewise, as far as damages or impact that would flow from this risk being exploited, you can do if it's going to be a low impact, middle impact, high impact, again, using the 1-2-3 system. And then you add those together, and it will give you the risk rating in total. So if something was very rare to happen and the damages it causes was very insignificant, it would have a total risk rating of 2, right? If something was likely to happen, right, it was a high likelihood, and it would be catastrophic damage, right, it would just be a 6, right, because you'd have a 3 and a 3 if you're using that. But again, this can be customized. There's a lot of room for customability to it. So we would recommend that you look into your own company and determine what would be best for you. So now, once you have the meeting and you determined your risks and you have everything set up and they're inside the risk registry that you set up and the you're going forward from there, right? What you want to do is, and what you have to do to be serious about risk, okay, not just to give it lip services. You have to keep a record of the incidents that happen, okay? That's what the incident folder is. Every time the risk gets exploited, every time somebody opens up a phishing email or something like that, or there's some sort of damage caused that matches a risk that you guys are looking for, you have to keep an incident for it. You have to put it in the incident folder, okay? And why do you do that? You do that because every year you need to review all your risks, right? You have to talk about your risks, okay? And that's number 6, okay? The review, the risk match review, where the board sits down, they talk about the previous year, they look at the incidents that happened, the risks that they were applied to, and they say, well, gee, you know, in reality, maybe they might find that this risk actually isn't such a low likelihood. Maybe it's a very high likelihood. They got a bunch of, they got 50 different incidents for this one particular risk. Well, you'll know this will lead to coloring your opinion as to what the likelihood is of a risk is going forward, or what the impact is. Perhaps at the initial risk meeting, the board was wrong. Maybe the impact was actually worse from the exploitation of a particular risk than they thought. Well, that's why you have the yearly review meeting. And that's why you're continually improving your system. You're fine-tuning your system, right? You're keeping yourself more and more secure as time goes on, as the company, as your risk management system is becoming more mature. And then finally, all you have to do is number 7, document. Just document the meetings, okay? This is good for the company. It's a good practice. If anyone ever asks, it ever comes up, what proof you have that you did your due diligence, that you were looking at risks, that your information management system is reasonable, you can show them this document of the minutes from the meeting of the risk review, and they can go from there. All right.
Well, thank you so much, Keith, for telling us why it is important to have a risk-driven IT organization. And just to recap, those 7 hows are number 1, assign, number 2, schedule, number 3, setup, number 4, meet, number 5, record, number 6, review, and number 7 is to document. There's a full descriptive article on our website that gives more details on risk-driven IT organizations, so be sure to check that out. Thank you so much for listening, and tune in next month for another episode of Keeping Up with the Compliance.